All right, so there's a double side, a two-sided handout that is being circulated around. You can give yourself a copy. I made 40 of them. I don't know if there's more than 40. So there aren't enough. Look on with somebody. You can download this. This is. I just don't want to shout over. So you can, if you didn't get a copy, if I didn't make enough copies, you can check this out on the study page under the miscellaneous resources or whatever section. Same section of the study page where you can find the closing song and the semester handout. Now includes this PDF as well. I should also mention, while I'm talking about the study page, you will find when you next check out the study page a few new things on there, which I would like you to print out by next week. There is now some sheet music available for two pieces that we didn't previously have. One is the two Christmas carols that you might have noticed that it just said two carols. So those are now ready for you to print out. And we will be looking at those next week. The other one is a piece called I Know Where I've Been, and that is also on the study page under that title. You actually only need from page 5 on, the first couple of pages are a solo that you don't need unless you're interested in that. But the choral part comes in on page 5, so if you want, you can just print out from page 5. All right, so I want to talk a little bit about the play that we're going to be doing. I've mentioned it, and you've heard about it, that it's going to be a kind of LGBTQ-themed, kind of contemporary version of a Christmas Carol. So I'm going to kind of walk you through kind of the main storyline and some of the main characters, and then talk about what you should do if you are interested in participating in the play. So the action of the play, it all takes a place around a bookstore, an LGBTQ bookstore, kind of a community sort of focal point for an unnamed community. We can think of it as Wilmington if you want. So the main character, the sort of Scrooge character, is a woman by the name of Carol Finch. Hence why we've been seeing here a mean one, Finch. So she's the owner of the bookstore, and she is not so much mean and miserly the way in the play, in the Dickens play, but she is very driven, and she's very very political, and she's always got all these missions and projects, but at the detriment of her relationship. So she's very driven in her projects, but she's not generous and warm in her relationship. So that's kind of the fable. I didn't hear that. So what we have, basically, she's got three employees of the store who we sort of see quite a bit of in the play, especially at the beginning. We have a young transgendered man who is one of the employees. We have Rachel, and that's Chris. And then we have Rachel, who's a lesbian. And then we have Bob, who is a longtime employee. So, you know, as we were writing it, we kind of thought that perhaps Chris was kind of a younger person. Bob might be a little older. Not an old man, but more middle-aged. He's more settled, and he's been working at the store for quite some time.
Who's a part for you to play, Mike?
So we also have a narrator who helps us go from scene to scene without seeing every detail. We kind of sort of skim over a few parts. It's not a huge part. In thinking about the size of the parts, the part of Carol is a fairly big part, obviously, because that's the sort of Scrooge part. The three employees are big-ish parts. They have a couple of scenes, but they're not, it's not like the whole play is all about them. The narrator is a relatively small part, and also if it's a good part for someone who maybe has trouble memorizing lines, because you'll be able, the narrator would be able to read from a book type thing, which could also be your lines. We have a couple non-speaking parts, and you see that the clock, there's a clock that does not speak.
I have to say that. Maybe Matt should have
done that. Let me explain. You know, in the story of Scrooge, there's these, the ghosts come at certain hours. But because we're limited, you know, we can't have sound effects and all this kind of stuff like we might do in a play. What we're going to do is we're going to have a kind of a big clock, cardboard clock with movable hands. And someone will just simply walk across with the clock to indicate now it's 1 o'clock, now it's 2 o'clock.
Friday kids, Nick, she's good at
it. I actually was thinking about that. One of the fun things that we try to do is really like play a lot with the ghosts. We have a lot of room to play. So our first ghost, the spirit of Christmas past or holiday past, I'm not sure how we're going to title that, but it's going to be kind of a Dolly, an over-the-top Dolly Parton type look-alike. And that could be played in drag, or it could be played by a fabulous female singer. That part might sing, or we might have a separate singer. That part does have a song that's written into the play, which is a Dolly Parton song. But if we have a fabulous Dolly Parton who maybe doesn't want to sing the song, or if the song doesn't really fit for that person, we can work around that by having a separate person kind of do the song part of it. We see a scene in the middle where we see Carol at a younger age, so we have kind of two Carols. It doesn't literally have to be a young one person older and one person younger, but there's basically, it does need to be a different person than the original Carol. Carol is looking at herself as a young person. So,
yeah.
Flexible and open about, you know, about how we do this. We have a very small part. So both young Carol and Isabel, which is Carol's partner, or former girlfriend from past, that's a pretty small part. They just have a couple of lines. Then we have another non-speaking part. There's a burglar who comes in and robs the bookstore, and during the robbery, Jake is killed. So that's why he's a ghost, is because he was killed. I'll talk about it in a second how that all happens. But so that's a non-speaking part. It's just a pantomime. And that doesn't have to be male or female. That could be anybody. The second ghost, the ghost of Christmas present, is Cher. And I have to say, even though I'm open to doing a fabulous female or in drag, but that being said, I think it would be either one. That character does not have a specific song that is sung, but she does sing, but just not like in a serious accompanied way. Her thing is that she sings instead of talking and making comments. She answers and communicates with Carol by little snippets of pop songs. Like sort of retort. it's a funny scene. So the person who plays that needs to be able to sing enough just so that they can. Yannicka, what are some of the little lines that Cher sings? I forget now, I'm standing here. If I could turn back time, that's what I'm doing.
She's talking to Simone and she's talking off guard.
No pennies for you.
I honestly can't
read. I know, me neither. We worked so hard. Anyway, so. But they're just like little one-liners.
It's their party.
It's their party. They can. Whatever.
Are we specific decade?
Oh,
sure.
Okay, there's another one from right.
It's not that specific.
Okay.
What? They don't have to be sung particularly beautifully. They're just like you would just, you know, when you're talking to your friend and somebody reminds you of a song and you just sort of sing the line of the song. It's that sort of thing. It's not a serious singing part. Just plugging along. So we have Hugo, who is Bob's husband. And in case you didn't recognize, Bob is kind of Bob Cratchit from, and they have a little son whose name is? So they're kind of like this sort of settled couple, and they have a young child who has some unknown, not specific health problem that we don't quite explain what it is. But yeah, so he's basically Tiny Tim, and the baby does not make an appearance on stage. He's just referred to off stage. We have a short little vignette where we see, this is kind of a serious, it's a very short scene, but it kind of, it's a poignant scene, where Chris, the transgender man, goes to his family's house for a holiday celebration, and he's really sort of turned away. He's really told that he's not welcome. And so it's a little short scene, but it's kind of, it's got a little bit of an emotional impact to it. And then we have Lila. We see Lila and Rachel, who Rachel, you'll recall, works at the bookstore, and we see her with her wife Lila, and they're preparing for Hanukkah. And this is in order of appearance, not in order of importance, really, but. Some of those parts, like Hugo is a very small part, Lila is a very small part, Chris's mother is a small part. All those parts are relatively small part, they just have maybe a few lines. We have the third spirit, which is a fairly big part, but it doesn't actually have any lines. The third spirit, unlike the first two, which are kind of these over-the-top diva types, the third spirit is sort of more serious, it's kind of a spooky, black, cloaked kind of a figure, but they don't speak, they simply point and show.
There could be elements of something in there, like the spirit points. You could have like long fingernails and also tromping around with these huge heels. But
we could do something with that. As I said when we were working on it, I'm concerned about the fingernail thing will only be a gag for the people at the very front row. So I think we have to be careful about sight gags. That aren't big enough to be seen by the whole audience. But the third ghost is does not have any lines. They may sing depending on who we cast it. There's a big song at the end, which is the piece that I asked you to download for next week. I Know Where I've Been, which you might recognize from the show Hairspray. So it's not really a Christmas song, but it fits in with the catharsis from where the main character is kind of realizing the mistakes that she's made, and so that song is the turning point for them. And again, so it will be mainly a solo, and the choir comes in kind of in the second half of the song that could be sung by the third ghost directly, or it also, again, could be somebody stepping out from the choir to sing that. So flip around the page, and we'll just walk through the sort of the quick synopsis of the play. Just a quick word. I put the music pieces underneath the scenes in which they occur, just because I know we've been rehearsing a few of these, and you might have been wondering, well, how does this fit into anything? That doesn't mean that the scene happens and then we sing the music and then the next scene happens and then we sing the music. Some of that music happens within the scene, but I just put it underneath the scene where it happens. So in the first scene, it kind of opens on some carolers are singing outside the bookstore, and we meet the employees of the bookstore, and they're complaining about their boss, and then she arrives, and actually before she arrives is when we sing You're a Mean One. And then she arrives, and we kind of see a little bit about who she is and what's kind of motivating her to be the way she is. And that's the first scene. Then in the second scene, I'm going through this really quick. There's obviously, you know, longer dialogue, but just so you can sort of see what happens. In the second scene is when Carol is at home in her room, going to bed, and she is visited by Jake, and she, you know, takes some convincing that he's a ghost, and it takes a little while for him to kind of get through the message. But basically, the purpose of that scene is simply to sort of set up that we're going to have these three visitations. And also, we get a little bit more of the backstory of Jake and Carol starting the store and what their past relationship was. So then we have the scene where Christmas passed, where Dolly Parton comes in, and there's a lot of, it's mainly with the ghost that a lot of the humor comes in, because there's a lot of funny banter and puns and things that happen with them. So in that scene, we see a little vignette of Carol in the past, where she has a breakup with her girlfriend, and that's very upsetting to her. And then later that same night is when the robbery occurs and her friend Jake is killed. So that kind of sets up how sort of her heart got hardened, you know, by having these tragic things sort of happen to her very suddenly, and she kind of sets that up. Then the second ghost, and there's a song in there, a Dolly Parton song that will be completely a solo, even though I have that on the study page, that's completely a solo. I changed my mind on that as we were working. Then we have the Cher ghost coming in, and in that scene, we see quickly some vignettes. First we see Bob and his husband, and they're talking about their then we quickly jump to Chris as he's going to his family and being kind of rejected by his mom. And then we quickly jump to Rachel and Lila and see their preparations for Hanukkah. And then they're all, it turns out, magically, they're all going to a party at Bob's house. So they kind of then all join together, and that's when they come together and they're at the party at Bob's, that's when we all sing Hanukkah tonight. So we kind of do that there. So we sort of see those, sort of the present lives of those three employees. Then in the scene five is when the spooky ghost comes in and shows Carol a future where her beloved bookstore, after her death, has been turned over into this right-wing thing. We see signs for, you know, pro-life and anti-gay, whatever. And she's, of course, shocked and, you know, feels like what all my work was for nothing. And that's where we have the big song where she realizes that she's, you know, shut herself off from relationships with her friends and family. And then, of course, in the final scene, now it's the morning, and she's had a change of heart, and she's the spirit of Christmas and giving and all of that, and she's joyful, and she has a little scene with her three employees in the bookstore where she's kind of makes amends. She buys them gifts. They're not like, here's a watch and here's a thing. They're things that she's done to acknowledge ways that, you know, that she can make their life better. So it has a happy ending, and we all sing God Bless Us Everyone. So that's the sort of synopsis. And hopefully all of that doesn't take 2 hours to do. Our goal is that it takes about 35 minutes. As I'm explaining it, the scenes are not very long. Even the biggest part, Carol has a couple of snippets where she's got maybe a short paragraph of lines, but mostly it's fairly short lines. So based on that, I'd like you to think about whether you are interested in playing a particular part, or maybe you don't know if there's a particular part that you're interested in playing, but you'd like to, you know, be considered for something. And here's what I'd like you to do, because we've got so much going on. We've got prison stuff happening. We've got solo auditions coming up. We have the recording. I would like for you to email me, and by now hopefully you all know my email address, earmsby@gmail.com. And I'd like for you to tell me that, A, yes, you are interested, you're interested in being in the play, and let me know also if there's a particular role you're especially interested in, and if you only are interested in that role or nothing else, or whether, you know, well, I'd like to play this, this, or this, and all of that. And then once I sort of see how many people are interested, what kind of interest we have in which parts, then I will make time to have a very quick, if we do an audition for this, it's basically going to be just reading some lines and just kind of getting a feel for that part, maybe having a conversation about, you know, vision for that part. I don't want to have a big protracted sort of audition process because we really need to get started on this. So I do want to say one thing, which is, if you are interested in a part on this, you must be able to project your voice. We are not having microphones. We have not even as many microphones as we have in Showcase. We have one microphone available to us for the First and Central, I don't know, but, you know. Both spaces where we're performing are fairly live. But so think about that and be honest with yourself about whether you think you really can project in a stage voice in a space like First and Central, and the other space is St. Paul's. So you're going to email me this week and tell me if you're interested, what part you're interested in, whether you're just interested in that part or you're open to other parts, or maybe I like this or this, but I'm not interested in that. So just tell me about, you know, something about what part is interesting.
Will there be scenery?
Not really. We're going to try to do this super minimal. The set is going to consist of pretty much four chairs, rearranged in different ways. The clock is just a prop. There'll be a few props, but not scenery. It's not a play, and the choir will be standing behind throughout this, so you're kind of the backdrop. That's why we have the scarves that we talked about last week, 2 weeks ago. Okay? Any other questions like that? That was a good question, Don. Different kind of thing. It's a very minimal kind of suggesting the action, not you know, a set.
I think Cynthia should have all the parts because she can project.
Well, I think that might be a little tricky on a number of levels. Any other questions about that? So think that, put your thinking caps on, think about that. And I'll be interested to see who is motivated to want to participate. All right, I took way more time talking about that than I should have, so we